Good morning, everyone. How many of us love exams, love pop quizzes, or loves tests? I mean, there are some out there that they enjoy having tests, enjoy having the exams, but most people don't like tests. But tests are given so that we can know where we're at in the subject matter, of course. It's to show if we know we don't know. And here in our text this morning, we'll see tests that will show who knows Christ and who doesn't. Our title for our message is Tests for Christian Assurance, based off of 1 John chapter 2, verse 3 to 11. So if you will, go with me to 1 John chapter 2, verse 3 to 11. This is the word of God for us. It reads, "And by this we know that we have come to know him, if we keep his commandments. Whoever says, 'I know him,' but does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, in him truly the love of God is perfected. By this we may know that we are in him. Whoever says he abides in him ought to walk in the same way in which he walked. Beloved, I'm writing you no new commandment, but an old commandment that you have from the beginning. The old commandment is the word that you have heard. At the same time, it is a new commandment that I'm writing to you, which is truth in him and in you. Because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. Whoever says he is in the light and hates his brother is still in darkness. Whoever loves his brother abides in the light, and in him there is no cause for stumbling. But whoever hates his brother is in the darkness and walks in the darkness and does not know where he is going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes." Let us pray. Father God, we are just in awe of who you are. We are blessed to be here together to hear your word speak to our soul. I thank you, Lord, for allowing us to have this letter for us to be able to know. We thank you, Lord, for your word this morning. I ask that you will help us open our ears to have that intent to listen, to be able to hear and to walk. I thank you, Lord, for your word this morning. Open our hearts to hear you. Open our minds, Lord. We ask for your help as we hear you speak to us. We ask this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I'll begin by asking three questions. How do we know if I know Christ Jesus? How do you know that you abide in Christ Jesus? How do we know that I'm in the light? All these questions are questions that might have crossed the minds of these believers who John is writing to. Has his questions ever crossed your mind? Do I know Christ? Am I abiding in him? Am I in the light? Now, it's important for us to know the background of why John wrote this letter to this particular church, to these believers. You see, the church was devastated to see some from within the local church teaching false doctrines about the person and the work of Jesus Christ. It might have caused a great uncertainty for some, if not many, believers. It might have caused a great sense of insecurity of their relationship with Christ Jesus. There might have been thinking, am I a true believer? Am I rooted in the truth of Christianity? I mean, just think about it and imagine that within those who proclaim to know Christ began to teach another gospel. And here we are, our brother John, the Apostle John, inspired by the Holy Spirit to write this letter to reassure the faith of the believers, to strengthen the brothers and sisters. You see, John is interested in the assurance of the believer. He's interested in reassuring those who believe in the name of the Son of God so that they may know they do have eternal life. John intentionally, brothers and sisters, lays out tests to mark who is a true believer and who is not. He intentionally lays out tests to really mark someone who truly knows and loves Jesus Christ and someone who does not. Someone who claims to abide in Christ and does not. Someone who claims to be in the light and is not. And so John gives us this tests by repeating over and over several phrases. I don't know if you catch this as we begin to read our passage this morning, that John intentionally repeats phrases like, by this we know. And whoever says, he uses this, repeated it over and over again, phrases to give this test, to mark who is a true believer and who is not. We as Christians, we claim to know and love God. We as Christians do claim to abide in Him. We claim to be in the light. But you know, brothers and sisters, the world out there also claim the same things. If you were to ask someone out there in the restaurant, in Walmart, or wherever you're at, if you were to ask them, do you believe in Christ? Do you know Jesus Christ? Do you love God? Do you love Jesus Christ? I'm certain that they will answer, yes, I do. But how can we know we have eternal life? How can we know we are true Christians? See, John's answer is not claiming or professing from our very own lips. That is not sufficient, or by any experience such as I prayed the sinner's prayers, or that I got baptized in my younger years, or that I have a Bible, or I attend church. Those things are not sufficient. You see, John is concerned with a life that gives evidence. A life that is connected to Jesus Christ. Because as long as you're connected to Jesus Christ, you will be known by your fruits. It will be evidence that you are abiding in Christ, that you know and love Christ. You see, it's easy for us to profess, to claim to know and love Christ. It's easy for us to claim that I abide in Him. It's easy for us to say, I'm in the light. But the question is there supporting evidence to that claim in our lives? We've heard phrases before like, walk the talk. If you profess something, if you claim something, you need to have supporting evidence to that claim. And so John, the Apostle John, provides us with three tests in our passage this morning. But as we advance in this letter, we'll see more tests that John gives so that people will know if they are in true Christianity or if they're true Christians. But we have three tests here laid out for us in our passage that we will look together. And we look at this test, beginning with the same phrase in verse 4, verse 6, and verse 9, whoever says. So test number one comes to us from verse 4, whoever says, I know him. The second test comes to us from verse 6, whoever says he abides in him. And test number three comes to us from verse 9, whoever says he is in the light. Now today, brothers and sisters, we're only going to do test number one. Next Sunday, we'll look at test number two and test number three from verses 5 through 11. But today, we'll look at test number one coming to us from verse 4, whoever says, I know him. Like I said, brothers and sisters, anyone can claim all these three statements. But the question, are they supported by evidence in their lives? You see, brothers and sisters, if someone claims to know Christ Jesus, if someone claims to love him, and if there's no supporting evidence in their life, that claim is really open for dispute. John wants to assure the true Christian. He wants them to look at their lives and others who claim to know and love Christ, who claim to abide in Christ, who claim to be in the light. There was once a man that I know, and he claimed to be a Christian. He claimed that he did the sinner's prayer as we know it. He claimed to be baptized, and yet he was living an adulterous life for many years, and might be living in sin, in that same sin as we speak. But he professed to be a Christian, yet his life will show otherwise, will display otherwise, by living an adulterous life with another woman. And he would claim, you know, my pastor told me that I'm saved. And if I am saved, I'm always saved. In God's viewpoint, yes, there is Christian assurance for those who are in Christ Jesus and will be displayed in their very own lives. They will be known by their fruits. But in this man that I know, that there's no sorrow over sin. There's this lifestyle of sin. And so there's no true fruit of a true Christian. Paul wrote to the Corinthian Christians saying, examine yourselves, 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5. Paul said to the Corinthian Christians, examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Or do you not realize this about yourselves, that Jesus Christ is in you? Unless indeed you fail to meet the test. And brothers and sisters, that's something for us to examine ourselves to see whether we are in the faith. It is important for us to step back and examine our lives. Before we look at the first test, let me say, brothers and sisters, that true Christian's assurance is not in anything that we are or anything that we have done. True Christian assurance is in Christ alone. What he has done by his life, by his death, by his resurrection on our behalf. He has become our sufficient Savior who has, by his finished work on the cross, secured our salvation for all eternity. And so our rest, brothers and sisters, and our confidence for eternity is in him alone as our sufficient Savior. But John is not simply satisfied that we should say that or know that or make that kind of claim personally. His concern is to see the evidence of genuine faith. He is concerned to see the evidence that we truly know and love Christ Jesus. He's interested to see the evidence in one who professes to abide in him. He's interested to see the evidence that we truly are in the light. He's interested that Christ is evident in us. So let's look at test number one. Whoever says, I know him. Look with me, if you will, there in verses 3 to the first part of verse 5. This is the word of God, and by this we know, there's that phrase, that we have come to know him if we keep his commandments. Whoever says, I know him, but does not keep his commandment is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, in him truly the love of God is perfected. If someone claims, if someone says, I know Christ Jesus, there are two supporting evidence in the Christian life here in test number one. If someone claims, I know Christ Jesus, the supporting evidence is that that person who claims that is keep his commandments. That is the supporting evidence to that claim. If someone knows Christ Jesus, he or she keeps his commandments, keeps his word. That's evidence number one. Evidence number two is that truly the love of God is perfected. And so if someone says, I know Christ Jesus, that life will display an obedience to God's word. And second, truly the love of God is perfected. But brothers and sisters, where does it all begin? Where does it all start? By knowing Christ Jesus. It starts there, is knowing Christ Jesus. And by this we know that we have come to know him. That's where it all began. But what does it mean to know Jesus Christ? What does it mean to say that I know Jesus Christ? Well, to say that I know Jesus Christ is to know him in a very personal and intimate way. It is more than just knowing about him. It's knowing him in a personal way. You see, it is one thing to know about Jesus and quite another thing to know him closely, intimately. You know, it's one thing to say, you know, I know something about our pastor, or I know our Pastor Joe. But how am I going to get there? How am I going to know him closely and intimately? Well, it's to have a very personal relationship. You see, to know Jesus Christ is really to have a very deep personal relationship. You know, Jesus spoke of the need to know the Savior when he prayed to the Father in John chapter 17, verse 3. In his prayer, Jesus said, this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. You see, when a person truly knows Jesus, When a person claims to know Jesus, they spend time together. They talk regularly, spending time in prayer and in His Word. You know, I truly believe that as we spend time, quality time together with Christ, when we spend time with Him, when we open His words, His teachings, and we read, when we spend time in prayer and letting His words speak to us, we begin to love Him. And as we begin to love Him, the clear evidence in that life is obedience to His words. To know Jesus Christ is to love Him. And to love Him is to obey Him. When we come to know Him, we keep His word. We keep His commandments. In other words, we treasure His words by applying His words to our very own lives. We are obedient. That is the evidence, obedience. Jesus clearly told His disciples in John 14:15, if you love me, if you say you love me, you will keep my commandments. And so, unmistakable obedience is the evidence of knowing and loving Jesus Christ. On the other hand, if someone says, I know Him, look with me in verse 4, but does not keep His commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. If the person claims to know Jesus Christ and his or her life contradicts Jesus' words, commandments, he or she does not know Him. He is not a true Christian. He or she is only deceiving themselves, and that the truth is not, does not abide in them. Listen to the words of Paul to Titus. They profess to know God, but deny Him by their works. You see, words and actions go hand in hand. If I'm professing to know and love Christ, the supporting evidence is going to be obedience. Everyone claims to know God, yet their life is a big contradiction when they don't keep God's word, when they don't apply the words of God in their own very lives. Look with me in verse 5. But whoever keeps His word, whoever keeps His word, in him truly the love of God is perfected. And so John is reassuring the believer's faith. This is what you have to look, not only in your life, but in others who claim to be Christians, who claim to know God. What you have to be looking is their fruit, to see if they're obedient to Christ's word. Do they keep His commandments? But if their life contradicts to that claim, they are considered liars and the truth is not in them. But whoever keeps His word, in him truly the love of God is perfected. Now what does that mean? Well, it could be understood in two ways. One, it could mean God's love for the person, for the believer, or the person's love for God. One, it could mean God's love for the believer, the person, or the person, the believer's love for God. This is the way the NIV puts it. But if anyone obeys His word, love for God is truly made complete in them. So I believe the context here indicates it is a true Christian love for God that is in view here. As a Christian, my love for God is perfected as His word is working in me when I obey His commandments. As a Christian, my love for God is perfected as His word is working in me when I obey His commandments. Our obedience to Christ's commandment is both a clear sign and a test for our love for Him. When we begin to know Christ, who He is, and what He has done for us, out of that, there should be a humility and gratitude to love Him for what He has done for us. When we look at John's writing in the epistles and in the gospel, we see this connection that he does between the love for Christ and obedience to Him. It's actually a recurring theme in John's writing, the love for Christ and obedience. 1 John chapter 2, verse 2 to 3 reads, "By this we know," again, you see that phrase, "by this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and obey His commandments." There's that connection. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome. When we know Christ Jesus in a very deep, intimate, personal way, when we spend time with Him in prayer and reading His word, there begins this love for Him. There is this love for His word. And what He asks of us, what He tells us to do, those commandments are not burdensome. They're not a burden. We don't see them as a burden. But wait a minute, you're telling me, brother, that isn't it a burden to love my enemies? It shouldn't be a burden, because in perspective, when we see what He has done for us, being enemies of Him, He died for me. He opened my eyes to see Him. When we begin to see of what He has done for us, then when He asks me to love my enemies, I'm going to love Him. It will not be a burden for what He has done for me, deserving of His wrath. You know, we always taught our children to show love and gratitude in what they were commanded to do at home. You know, how often, you know, we would tell our children, or we tell our children, please throw out the trash, clean your room. And how's their reaction? Oh, do I have to really do that? It's a burden. And I would say, son, daughter, do you really know us? Yes. Do you know that we love you? Absolutely. If you understand that, out of humility and gratitude and love for your parents, you will gladly throw out the trash, clean your room. When we understand that those commandments, our words to them, are not a burden. They do it out of love. And so, as Christians, if we claim to love Him, if we claim to know Him, His commandments toward us are not a burden. It is a delight, because it's all about Him and His glory. It is for His name's sake. If He asks me to love my brother, to have mercy and grace on others, I will do so because that's what He has done for me and showed to me, understanding that I was not deserving of those blessings. The Apostle John, when he was in the upper room with Jesus, he heard him say, and then quoted him saying yet again, "Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him." Once again, you see that connection between love for Christ and obedience to him. Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, obeys them, it is he who loves me. You know, brothers and sisters, our love for God fuels our obedience. And our obedience fuels greater love, and greater love fuels greater obedience. And this church fuels our growth, our progress as a Christian. Our relationship with our Lord Jesus deepens. Now, let me go back to the word keep. Keep His commandments. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. We see that in verse 3 and in verse 5. The word keep in the Greek conveys the idea of guarding. See, true Christians guard. In other words, they treasure Christ's words by obeying them. They treasure them. They guard them. His words, His commandments are a delight. They displayed in their very own lives. They live out the gospel. They live out this true relationship. Now, let me be clear here that we're not talking about perfect obedience. We could never achieve perfect obedience. We saw that last week. We fall short. We will sin. But as we saw last week, when we sin, we confess our sins, we come before our advocate in Christ Jesus. You see, but a true Christian who proclaims to know and love Christ, they pursue a life of obedience that is fueled by the Spirit who dwells in us. The Holy Spirit that dwells in the believer is the one who helps us walk step by step with Him as we walk in faith. Brothers and sisters, treasuring His words, obeying His word, gives us assurance that we know and love Him. When we know who He is in all His glory and beauty, His words, His commandments are not a burden to us. They are a blessing. It is a delight to keep His word. So, brothers and sisters, you might be here this morning, and maybe your love for Christ has grown cold. It might be because, one, the busyness of life has entrapped you. You find yourself fighting for time to speak and listen to Jesus' words. We know that this world is always on the run. And there we are running all the time. That we just want to go home and sit down, wind down. And that's good. It's good to do that. We have to find ourselves fighting for time. We need to be disciplined to find time to speak and to listen to Jesus' words. Because if we don't find ourselves fighting for time or allocating time with our Lord Jesus Christ and reading his word, the busyness of life will choke our soul, which then will lead to second, lack of spiritual maturity. If you're here this morning, and maybe your love for Christ has grown cold, third, it may be that your attitude is, I know it all. I know the Bible. I know who Jesus is. I know what he has done for me. And so you get to that life of complacency, that life of just, I know it all. What's there else to know? Or it might just be that you don't care much for God's word. And if this is you right now, if this is you that you don't care much of God's word, it's a very dangerous place to be. You know, brothers and sisters, we cannot replace reading God's word, spending time with God, with listening to good, solid, Christ-centered preachers, or reading a good sound Christian book. We cannot replace our time with God and God's word with those things. Don't get me wrong. Those things are good in and of itself. It is good to listen into great solid preachers who are rooted in sound doctrine. I enjoy that. We cannot replace spending time in God's word and letting his word speak to our souls. You know, oftentimes I ask Christians, what letter, what part of the Bible of God's word are you reading, are you studying? And some answers are, well, you know, but I listen to this preaching from John MacArthur. I heard this preaching from R.C. Sproul. I heard this preaching from John Piper. I heard this preaching from Pastor Joe. So that's sufficient. No. We cannot replace our time with God in his word with listening to good, solid, Christ-centered preachings. Those things are good. Don't get me wrong. We need to be spending time in God's word and letting his word speak to our souls. He is the bread of life. Now let me encourage you. If you are one whose love for Christ has grown cold, maybe you're in this season that you don't find yourself quite reading God's word, not spending time in prayer. Maybe you're in that season, this very morning. But let me encourage you. Let me encourage you to come to him with confidence and tell him, really come and tell him, help me, God. Help me to start thinking about your word the way the psalmist did in Psalm 119. Draw near to him. Come with confidence and tell him to help you to start thinking differently about spending time with him and in prayer and reading his word. Plead to Jesus Christ. plead to Jesus Christ like the psalmist in Psalm 119, 131. Plead to Jesus Christ to open your mouth and pant so that you may long for his commandments. Pray to Jesus Christ to give you understanding to learn his commandments, Psalm 119, verse 73. Confess to the Lord Jesus to help you delight in his commandments to love them, Psalm 119, verse 47. Plead to Jesus Christ to help you lift up your hands unto his commandments, Psalm 119, verse 48. Come to him with confidence and ask Jesus Christ to help you not to wander from his commandments, Psalm 119, verse 10. Come to him in confidence and commit to the Lord Jesus and run in a way of his commandments, Psalm 119, 32. If your love for Christ Jesus has grown cold, draw near to him. Tell him. And when you do that, I'm confident that, I'm confident that as you do, as you draw near to him, as you come to him and plead with him and ask him and pray to him, I have confidence that your heart for him and his word will warm your heart to keep his commandments, to be obedient to his word. Whoever says, I know Christ Jesus, the supporting evidence is obedience to his words. The supporting evidence is to love him. And that love will fuel that obedience. And so, if you're doing these things, keep walking. I encourage you to keep doing it. Keep spending time with our Lord Jesus Christ in prayer and opening his teachings and allow him to speak to you and walk the talk, walk, be obedient to his word. If you're doing that and delighting in that, praise the Lord. But if you're not, draw near to him. Come close to him. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we are grateful for who you are. A loving and sufficient Savior who saw us and had grace and mercy. That even as children of wrath, children of disobedient enemies, you display your love on the cross for us. That out of that and knowing that, that we might come to you daily in prayer and reading your word. That we might have the assurance that we know you and love you by the way we live, by the way we treasure your words in our lives, the way we keep your word, the way we display your word in us. I know, Lord, that it is not easy. We're always fighting with time. Just the busyness of time, but the busyness of time have really entrapped, choked our souls. And so we see ourselves not walking, not progressing in our sanctification. And Lord, so we ask to help us. Maybe we're in that season right now, but that we might come to you with confidence and confess and plead with you to help us delight in your word, that we might pray to you to give us understanding to learn your commandments, that we might say that we delight in your word. And so, Lord, I pray for those who are in that season right now, whose love for you has grown cold. I thank you for your word this morning. And I pray for those who don't know you this morning that they might surrender, that they might put their faith in who you are, the Christ and the Son of God, that they might come to believe. I pray that you will open their eyes to see you, that they might come to the foot of the cross and confess that you are the Lord, that you came, you lived, you died, and you resurrected and ascended to heaven. And so I pray for those who don't know you, that they might come to know you. I thank you, Lord, for everything you're doing in our lives and in our church. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.